From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Sacramento, this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. He's in the Clark Ford studio. I'm in my home office as torrential rain continues to pelt the Oxford area over the course of the week. I think around 8 inches, 9 inches yesterday, depending on where your rain gauge was set up. A few more today. Neil's laughing. There's so many jokes in there that he bypassed all of them if you're not watching ESPN8, but nonetheless.
There's just the obvious one that immediately comes to mind. And then you realize that at some point you cannot just be that juvenile. You have to let it go on occasion. Otherwise, lest you turn into Michael Scott.
Yes. So the moisture is preventing us from being together today. We will handle this here remotely, hopefully by tomorrow. The rains have receded, but they're saying that it can go all the way into Friday. If so, like, basically half the damn town's going to be underwater by that point, because it's already ridiculous. I know some different schools and camps and things have let out today. There's a lot going on. So anyway, we're here with you. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk weather, meteorology, whatever else over the course of the next hour and so with you on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, Highway 6 West in Oxford. That's not flooded yet, so you can get on over to the Oxford Exxon, the Blue Sky location. Take advantage of the lunch specials that are $5.69 for two sides of bread, 32-ounce drinks, as well as the SpeedPass Plus app. You download it, you use it, you earn points, and you earn points, you save money with the Oxford Exxon. Again, Neil's in the Clark Ford studio.
I am Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. That number, call it, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around, of course, or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. If you swim your way downtown, you can get to Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. It'd be a great place this weekend to watch Ole Miss, Arizona Super Regional, the other Super Regionals, whatever else might be on. You're just looking for a place to hang out, have a burger, po' boy, enjoy some appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, Rafters, Music and Food on the Square would be a great place for that. And then also Rafters on the Water. Speaking of water, Rafters on the Water is open. It's today, Wednesday, starting today at 5, Thursday at 5, Friday at 5, and then opens at 11 on Saturday and Sunday. Frozen daiquiris, frozen margaritas, great views of the water and all of that. If you don't need, if you're not tired of waterfront views by the end of this week, because if it keeps raining, Chase, which they're talking about raining through Friday, if it keeps raining through Friday, we're all going to have nothing but waterfront views. We drove back yesterday and went through the Delta because the bridge in Memphis that goes into Arkansas is out, or whatever the case may be. I've heard, I don't know. Anyway, you could tell the land could not take too much more water.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this morning the Oxford police posted on Facebook or somewhere else. There was five or six rows that had already flooded. There was several more. It's not good. It's not good at all. I mean, we had that one day about 6-8 weeks ago when you and I were trying to figure out when I could leave the studio after a podcast and everything kind of came down. But I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, this has got to be related to some sort of climate change or something, because I mean, I do not recall a June like this where we've got the 3, 4, 5 days in a row of just pop, 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 and it will not stop.
I told you that, you know, we kind of joked about it when we talked on Monday about, well, if they don't get it in on Monday, what happens with the game? And obviously,
Southern Miss would have advanced is what would have happened.
Because I don't think they would have been able to play yesterday. It finally kind of stopped raining last evening. I don't know, like, whether you would have been able to drain that field in time to play, but it would have been late yesterday, and today would be a no-go. I mean, there's not a chance in hell you could get it in today. So they had a window, to their credit, to play, I guess, on Monday and got it done, because I know my phone kept – I was in Fayetteville late. I mean, obviously we left yesterday morning, and my phone kept going off, I guess, Monday night, Tuesday morning, with flash flood warnings and stuff. And I was like, Must be an apocalypse.
Yeah, credit to them on Monday for, A, moving up the game time to 12 to go, okay, let's put as big of a window as possible here to get this game played. Because, look, there's rigidity with the NCAA from time to time, so they could easily have kept that game at 6. And 6 o'clock was rough because it was raining when I walked out of the stadium sometime, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, whatever time it was. It's all running together by this point. But they start at 12. It gets delayed to 12:30 and then 1. And then they said, okay, we'll just tell you at 2 what we're thinking. And that was nice. I appreciated that because left and went and got lunch, said I'll just come back at some point when y'all decide when you're going to play this baseball game. And other than the NCAA tradition of lightning delays when it's not actually lightning or raining, they got the game in pretty easily. There was not much trouble there. I'm glad that both teams were allowed to bring their starters back. Because if the lightning delay actually altered the pitching, that would have kind of sucked when it posed zero threat to anyone on Monday afternoon. So there was like lightning in Grenada, and they stopped the game.
I've told you so many times, I covered an Auburn Tulane game. I'll never forget it. That was a regional final, and it was bright skies, sunny sunshine, and just warm weather at Plainsman Park, and we sat through a 2.5 hour lightning delay.
Somebody's asking, no Southern would have gone. So the rules on that is. But essentially, if both teams have one loss, it goes to head-to-head record at that point, and Southern would have won the one game. Now, had Florida State beaten Southern Miss, then Florida State and Ole Miss would have been 1-1, and the higher seed would have advanced. So Ole Miss would have advanced if had they played Florida State, lost the first game, and then everything else gotten rained out. But then since Southern won, it did not. It would have played out differently. But luckily, they got the game in. There's no problems. I'll let Neil give any final thoughts here because I know I haven't really talked to him. He hasn't talked to you guys. But they were up 9-0. And while it did get close a couple times, I really never at any point thought, oh, they're really in trouble of some crazy bad moment here. I mean, it felt like they kept contained pretty well throughout the 9 innings.
So the game started, and I was watching it, and then we had to go back to campus because she had stuff in the morning, and then there was a downpour there, and we couldn't get back out of where we were. And we got back to campus, and we did a couple of things, and I checked the score, and they were back in a lightning delay or whatever. And then we got back to the Airbnb, and the game was on, and they had resumed, and it went from – it was like 4-0 when there was the lightning delay, and all of a sudden I looked up and it's 9-0. And I was like, well, how the hell that happened? And then I saw the Elko hit the grand slam or something. I don't remember all of it. And then it got to be 10-2, I think. 9-2.
Yeah, Southern scored 2, and then Elko hit a solo shot to make it 10-2.
And I want to say when it got to be 10-2, I told myself, because you know where I'm going with this, Chase, because you've known me for a long time. Caroline and I went to Hammond Trees for lunch, the grilled cheese place, and all I could think about from the moment that I finished that sandwich was I've got to go someplace and burn these calories. And so I went – was that thunder?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's coming up toad strangler outside right now.
So I said, I'm going to go run. There's no way they blow this lead. And and so I started running in Fayetteville, and I just kind of had a Forrest Gump moment where I just kept running, and I wasn't exactly sure where I was. I felt like I was vaguely familiar with the general direction in which I was heading. Mm-hmm. And, the Ole Miss has the Lyceum. They have Old Main. And so I saw the Old Main building way off in the distance, and I said, well, I'll just run towards it. And I kept running, and I kept running, and I kept running. And at some point, I got a text from Jeffrey going, can you believe they're doing this? And I said, doing what? And he told me about Nikhazy. And so my immediate thought was, oh, my God, they've blown that lead. How'd they blow that lead? And then he told me the score and stuff. And I just figured, sure enough, that they would kind of settle in about where it was. And I got back – I finally got to a place where I was goofing around with the kids, sending pictures of stuff, showing them how far I'd run. And then I looked up and I'm like, okay, it's time to get back. And I looked up and I was 1.8 miles from the Airbnb. So I ran that back. And by the time I got back, It was the eighth inning, and I saw the end of the game. So it was The game went about the way I sort of thought Monday's game would probably go. I felt like Ole Miss would probably win. I thought it'd be a lot of runs and all that, but it was a hell of a. I watched a good bit of the regional away. It was. I thought. I mean, you got to give some credit to Southern Miss, right? I mean, they played. I thought really well.
They're
really good. They can hit. I think I told you that. I'd watched a lot of them against Louisiana Tech in the Conference USA tournament, and they can kind of slug their way into games and stay in games a little bit. But kudos to Ole Miss and the whole Tim Elko thing. And I mean, they ought to build. That's a remarkable story. The Elko thing is a remarkable story. It really is that he's hit what, 7 home runs with 1 ACL, and they've been able to sort of navigate their way around that. And frankly, only a couple of times has his presence on the base paths been a big deal at all. And it's a cool story. It's a team that lost a lot, lost Gunnar Hoglund, and went a couple of weeks without Nikhazy, and then you lose Elko, and they've had other injuries and stuff like that, and to make it to a super regional for the second year in a row is, I think, a hell of an accomplishment. They'll have their hands full in Tucson, but it's funny. People are like, can Ole Miss win? I'm like, yeah. Why couldn't they win? I mean, I've had that question, like, can Ole Miss win a super regional?
Well, yes.
Yeah, they beat Vanderbilt in the series. They played Arkansas that Sunday, they won 1 going to Sunday and had a crazy game. They've beaten a lot of teams in series. And then on the flip side, could they lose to Arizona? Sure, of course. I mean, yeah, of course. I would have liked for them to be able to play Saturday, Sunday, Monday just to give the arms one more day, but I don't know that at this point in the year it really matters.
I think in some ways it makes the decision easier on Mike. I mean, he can hold Doug till Saturday. He can be good enough from a rest standpoint. It gives you – we've talked about this even in a hypothetical situation. It lets you go out there and throw a diamond in game one, and if you lose, Doug's not going to be affected. He'll go give you what he's got on Saturday, and if you happen to win, you wake up on Saturday morning and you had hand Doug Nikhazy the ball and you hope for the best. And if he wins, you get to Omaha, and if he loses, hey, you tip your hat and you had a shot with your best dude, and you go play the game on Sunday and you see what happens. I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll talk a lot about Arizona today, tomorrow, whenever, headed into the series. Going to be some late nights, by the way. 8 o'clock Friday, 9 o'clock Saturday, 8 o'clock Sunday from a central time zone standpoint. I think Arizona's only 1 hour back, though, because they don't observe daylight savings, right?
They don't observe it, so it's just 1 hour.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The Elko thing, I've gotten asked about it so many times, some different media stuff. I was on Chris Lee's Southeastern 14 podcast this morning, and he and Barry Allen were asking me about it. And there aren't words, and I don't even mean that like I'm being flippant. I just don't know what there is to say. It's so strange, and it's so out of the ordinary, and it's such an amazing sports story from a good dude, too, that there really aren't just words that say it. The English language doesn't really have something that says kind of what that means, because – I mean, he's hitting opposite field bombs on one knee. I mean, to the point that you just wonder a little bit, had he stayed healthy last year, or had COVID not happened, had he stayed healthy this year? I mean, you're talking about probably some national player of the year kind of stuff from him if he's 100%.
The only other thing I can think of is that maybe he is at the plate. Obviously, he's locked in and he's seeing the ball really, really well. But I wonder if he's not up there going, okay, look, there's no point in me doing anything that's going to, where I've got to play small ball here. Let's just go for it. And maybe he's kind of hunting home runs a little bit more than maybe he would have normally done it before the injury. I don't know. That's my guess. Ginger asked a question about thoughts on letting Nikhazy pitch on Monday. All right. I'll first of all, I don't have a problem with it. Doug wanted the ball. The teammates knew that Doug wanted the ball. So you give him the ball. I will say this. The one thing that I've – and Chase knows where I'm going already. You play the whole season on these three-game series. The whole season is about three-game series. I would love to see college baseball adopt a playoff format that was a three-game series, then a three-game series, then where the regional is a three-game series, and then a super regional. Mm-hmm. I think you would avoid some of those situations like the one in Oxford where Nikhazy asked for the ball, where the Southern Miss kid asked for the ball, the one in Fayetteville where in the third inning or whatever, Cops asks for the ball and then pitches the rest of the game.
Yeah, Cops threw 175 pitches on the weekend.
It's kind of crazy. It's you know, and on one hand, you want to rip the coaches for allowing that to happen. And on the other hand, if you've ever been a part of a team, you know the emotions that go into a tournament like that. It's one thing to sit somebody at the SEC tournament in the semifinals and go, we're not doing this. It's another thing when if you lose, you go home. If you lose in Hoover, you don't go home. You go home, but you play again. If you lose in a regional final, you're done. That's it. And so guys ask for the ball, and you give it to them. And I'd like to see that fixed, but, you know, it makes for dramatic television, and in so many ways, that's kind of what they're trying to grow the sport. And it was, I'll say this, it was more watchable this year than it's been in a while, maybe because I had kept up with it more this year, and I knew about different teams and that kind of thing. But the Ole Miss-Southern Miss game was really watchable. It was good theater. And then, you know, later that night, the Nebraska-Arkansas game was a really, you know, kind of – it was an entertaining game. If you were the guy sitting at home in Des Moines, we always talk about watching that game, it was – you were entertained. And so that's – if that's what ESPN and college baseball are going for, they've got it.
Our guy moved from Des Moines – from Dubuque to Des Moines.
Either way.
Got a job offer?
He's got homes in both places.
Oh, okay. He's rolling.
Oh, yeah. He's sitting around watching sports. And if that's the goal, is to get that guy who's not a fan of one of the teams to tune in, those were entertaining games. And maybe by getting to the whole Monday thing, when you get deep into a pitching staff and you get a lot of runs scored and that kind of thing, and kids come back from a short rest and it's, you know, win or go home and all that stuff, maybe that makes it more entertaining. I don't know. I'd be interested to see the ratings when they come out.
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, Keith Law's going to jump on the low-hanging fruit. And was it 100% putting Doug's best interest in mind? No. But here's the deal. Most of those injuries happen over stress, over periods of time. A one-off on 22 pitches or whatever it was is not going to cause an arm injury. It's when you do it prolonged and over and over and over and over again. I mean, you've got high school idiots around the country pitching both sides of a doubleheader and stuff all the time. And, I mean, that's where you get into issues.
But he wanted the ball. It was, you know, and if I don't know how Mike would be able to, you know, I'm sure there was a part of Mike that probably thought, wish I weren't in this spot. But, you know, guys like that, guys like Nikhazy, guys like Cops, guys like that are competitors, and they are competitors at the highest level for a reason. And
your question is, what does he have left? Because Doug Nikhazy throwing 84 miles an hour is not going to do you much good. Hey, am I putting him in a situation where he can't succeed? And, you know, he threw his first pitch against Slade Wilkes. He comes in, bottom six, Ole Miss is up 12-7 at the time, bases loaded, two outs. And Southern Miss puts in a freshman pinch hitter who appeared to be scared to absolute death. And Nikhazy's first pitch is like 85. And I'm like, oh, God, like, what was that? Was that a fastball? Like, I'm looking at Nick Susco, and he doesn't throw a changeup that speed. So what was that? And then I think Doug actually was toying with him a little bit because the next pitch was 91. And I was like, oh, well, that's the fastball. So what was that? He was just throwing his fastball at different speeds. And he struck him out on three straight pitches. I mean, he got through that. He did give up a couple home runs the next inning. I was glad that they allowed him to finish that inning, and he was able to get out of that inning because, I mean, it sounds dumb, and I know it doesn't really matter, but I wanted Doug Nikhazy's era at Swayze Field to end in some way other than giving up a home run and getting pulled off the mound. So sure. that was big to me. But he gets a strikeout. Yeah, they threw Derek Diamond. They threw Doug Nikhazy. They threw the kitchen sink. Taylor Broadway was fantastic all three games. We'll talk about him as we move forward. But, yeah, interesting day for Mike. He managed it effectively and found 27 outs in some places that are kind of crazy. So, anyway, we'll continue the baseball talk. And go ahead.
I'm more curious, really, because the Nikhazy decision to me is pretty simple. He pitches Saturday. The question is that you threw Diamond on Monday. Now, is he going to be fresh enough to go on Friday? And I don't know.
I think so, right?
I would think. He didn't throw a lot of pitches.
Friday to Monday to Friday?
I would think so. I would think you're okay. But it's just, yeah, I would think he's okay.
Yeah.
You do wonder, like, you wonder, you know, how much length he could – he could have. I mean, if he's effective, does he run out of gas earlier? Then you have the change in climate, because obviously it's going to be a little different climate in Tucson than it is in Oxford. But I don't know. You know, you and I have talked about this. The goal is to get to Super Regionals and put yourself in a position to get to Omaha, and you're two wins away, and you lay it on the line and see what happens.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Central County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting that understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Join Coach Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels in the vault this season. Season ticket packages start at just $199. Can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. We're also brought to you by Lamman's Fine Jewelry in Oxford at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. Lamman's has been serving the Oxford area for almost 75 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, collectibles, and more. Lamons is the gold standard in fine jewelry, so visit them at lamonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. Also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust. With more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience in Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area, 662-801-1777 to get in touch with the fine people at Comer Heating and Air. The College Corner is your one-stop Rebel shop, two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet in Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. Go to collegecornerstore.com, plus find them on Facebook and Instagram. So whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day. The largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. We'll be taping a Mind of My Money tomorrow. That's brought to you by Pinnacle. At Pinnacle, regardless of your level of wealth, they'll sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, pinntrust.com at Pinnacle.
Podcast is brought to you by Northeast Spark, NESPARC.com. Take advantage of the best internet around with Spark. They will take care of you, whether it be the 100 Mbps or the Blaze. That's the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford studio and more. So you can find out if you're in your area. If so, call them and get it hooked up. 662-238-3159. Phone service available, as well as parental controls, network security, and more. So again, NESpark with the C.com. Yeah, definitely Doug Nikhazy's last game at Swayze. He's not coming back. Reading through the thread for a second. No, Diamond's bullpen day would technically be on Wednesday, and it's an easy assumption to make, but a regional final in the fifth inning on short rest would resemble in no way a bullpen from a stress situation.
No.
A bullpen's going to be 25 to 40 pitches, and he's not going to throw a single one of them 100%. It's going to be all about feel and spotting pitches and that kind of thing. He will literally never rear back and throw a ball 100% in the bullpen. It's fine. Gunnar Hoagland got through his midweek bullpen prior to Texas A&M okay, and he was perfectly fine because he did not stress his UCL hard enough to feel that there was a problem at that point. So yeah, different deal.
Yeah, you can't replicate a bullpen and a
no
postseason outing. No. Even if you tried, you wouldn't be able to. And they don't try, so they don't even come close to that. So, no, totally different animals.
Yeah. So I think you go Diamond, Nikhazy, and then, I mean, look, Mike hasn't said for sure he's not going back to Drew McDaniel. I mean, obviously Tyler Myers has outpitched him the last few weeks. I would expect it to be Tyler Myers. I don't have an answer yet.
Myers is getting real depth on his off-speed stuff. I mean, it's moving. It's effective right now. He's not throwing it straight. He's getting a lot of movement, a lot of depth with his break. I'd be hard pressed, and he seems to be enjoying the big moments. The moments don't feel too big for him. I mean, you mentioned the kid for Southern Miss whose eyes got kind of big at the plate. There was the kid that came in to pitch for Nebraska the other day, and his eyes gave away that he was the moment was big. He was feeling it. Tyler Myers doesn't look like that. He looks like this is fun.
Hey, last rodeo, give me the ball. Let's see what happens.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Give me the ball. Let's see what happens. And that's kind of those are the kind of people that I think you're more tempted to hand the ball to.
And somebody asked yesterday, said, hey, he wasn't doing it the first of the year. Well, no, he's coming off Tommy John. I mean, there's a huge difference in that extra 2 months, even if it's in season, on how some stuff breaks, how your elbow is responding. I mean, you're finally seeing the real Tyler Myers that he was prior to injury, when he was incredibly good for Ole Miss in multiple roles. He was healthy from a medical standpoint, but he was not healthy from a pitching standpoint when the season started. And he's a son of a gun right now. He's been huge in Hoover. He was good over the weekend. I mean, he managed that thing incredibly well when Southern Miss was hitting the hell out of everybody on Sunday night. I mean, I think he gave up 2 runs in 5 innings or something like that. You'd take that all day long. So he was good against the Eagles.
I can't remember the kid for Southern Miss whose name escapes me. I think he's a freshman from somewhere in Mississippi. That dude can rake.
They've got a couple dudes, including one that wanted to go to Ole Miss, that they certainly played like it over the weekend. Yeah, Reed Trimble.
That's what I was thinking
was
about.
Was insane.
That cat can rake, man. That dude. Hey, you talk about a kid who, when he was at the plate, there was no fear in his eyes. None. Yeah. Zero. He was completely – that moment was never too big for him. He can swing it.
And then Montenegro, I'm not sure Ole Miss has gotten him out in like 4 years. I mean, that son of a gun since like 2018. I mean, because look, it's overplayed in the media and the fan base, but you do have some Southern Miss kids that wanted to go to Ole Miss, and they've got a certain chip on their shoulder when they get the opportunity that, hey, you probably should have took me 4 years ago, and I'd be in your dugout right now, but instead I'm going to stick it.
Yeah, and some of those kids get in that environment, and it's like, this is what I wanted, here it is, and they go for it. I mean, you saw some of that. Like I said, you could tell some kids the moment was big, and for some kids, they were in. And I mean, look, there was a little part of, and this isn't picking on Drew here, but there was a little body language from him that he wasn't exactly feeling it on Monday and or Sunday. And when Myers came in, he was feeling it. He felt pretty good. I think I know which direction I'd probably go if it came down to a one game, 1-1 going into Sunday, and you're playing for a trip to Omaha. And I don't know. It'd be hard to look at Myers' last 2 or 3 outings and not go, let's give this a shot. I mean, you know, you got everybody in the bullpen ready to roll, but
if Diamond won game one, would you contemplate holding McDoug to game 3?
Yeah.
To get an extra day of rest.
Yeah, if we'd have to have a real serious conversation about how do you feel? How do you really feel? Because you're going to get a shot here, so we.
You're getting the ball, bud. Yeah, like, it's so all good.
You know, if you don't get the ball, it's because we won without you. And get ready for Omaha.
You got it day one there. So
yeah, for sure. I would. Yeah, I'd have that conversation. I'd have to have it in a way that we're being honest with one another. I mean, you know, hey, put your competitive thing down for just a second here. You're going to get the ball. Which day do you want the ball? And I suspect you'd go, I want it right damn now. But I'd say, you know, because look, you might have to use, let's say you win on Friday. If I told you Ole Miss won on Friday, right? You would probably assume if the baseball gods came down and said, Chase, Ole Miss wins Friday. That's all we're telling you. You say,
I'm going to assume Diamond was pretty good, but Broadway probably got 9 outs.
That's exactly what I'm guessing. Yep. So you need Doug to give you into the 7th. So not only do you need Doug to be effective, but you need Doug to have some stamina built up where he can go. So if you won Friday, that would be tempting. For sure.
I mean, I've covered a lot of Ole Miss, and it's probably one of my one unanswered questions that I'd love to know is, you know, what happens in 09 had they held Palm one more day?
One more day.
Let Drew throw in game 3. Could he have gone 8 instead of 7? Could he have done what? I mean, I don't know.
And Drew was really good, but he wasn't super sharp that day. And so
he was just fine.
You can't help but wonder if he'd had one more day, if he would have had just a little more life on his stuff, just a little more – you know, depth to a slider, just a little bit more to get you from good to great. And if that was the case, they probably win that day. And I mean, that's, but you know, Look, the goal, and I get why fans are this way, the goal is to win two games. You get three shots. It doesn't, there's no special prize for doing it in 2 days any more than the, you know what I mean? I mean, you either mm-hmm. win or you don't, so.
And you have a ton of rest. Ole Miss won't play until Sunday in Omaha if they win.
Right. Yeah, sure. I mean, the goal is to get there. Doesn't matter how you get there. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes. If I won on Friday night, it would be a conversation I would have, sure.
Yeah. Around the league, who do you like to move on? Just early guesses.
You're going to have to help me with who plays who.
Okay. Arkansas, NC State, I know, is one as I'm starting. NC State's hot as a damn firecracker.
NC State looks really good. You know, I've said this for a little while. I've watched Arkansas a lot. I mean, kudos to them. They haven't lost a series yet. That being said, it kind of feels like they're on some borrowed time.
It does.
I mean, it feels like, yeah, every time they go to Cops forever, they win. But how many times can you do that? And I guess the answer is, well, we could do it on Friday and do it again on Sunday. So, you know, and those Sons of Guns don't back down from anybody. And you know, they play pretty good defense. And if you open a door for them the way that Nebraska did the other night, they will absolutely storm through it. But it kind of feels like NC State to me a little bit.
They feel one arm short. Cops is saving that, and it is what it is, and it might be fine all the damn way through. Yeah. But just from a profile standpoint, they're one arm short, and it sticks out.
If they get to Omaha and win on their first game, they can do the Cops thing all the way to the final series.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just kind of – they need somebody, whether it's Wickander or one of the other guys. Lyle Lockhart's been – pretty good lately. They need one of those guys to give them a big game, and NC State can hit it.
Yeah. NC State's been hot as hell the last like 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. They were a projected host for a long time, then hit a lull, and they kind of found it again as they pretty easily got through Ruston, honestly. That was not a very difficult regional for them as they moved through it. Vanderbilt against East Carolina. Cliff's going to have a pretty rough go of it. It's going to be a tough one for the Pirates this weekend in Nashville to get through.
Yeah, I'm not betting against the little
– of anybody in the country, frankly, and I mean this, you did not want to be the 13th seed. That's the one seed you wanted nothing to deal with when you saw those brackets come out. Ole Miss, I know the 11 would have been really nice because you'd be playing Dallas Baptist at home right now, but the 13 would have been even worse. So the 12 is a decent compromise there if you're in the middle of those three.
Yeah, I'll pick Vandy. I mean, Cliff's awesome. Done a remarkable job to make East Carolina almost a perennial top 16 program. I mean, that's remarkable. But
I think they've been to Supers either 3 of the last 4 or 4 of the last 5 years.
Been a bunch.
But man, it's Vanderbilt. It's kind of like picking the College World Series winner. Like, and look, until the crown's gone, I'm not changing my pick. I mean, sure. Somebody has to beat the son of a bitches. I mean, so
sure.
You know, look, they haven't lost yet. Non-SEC one, Texas Tech and Stanford, that went chalk. That's the number 8 national seed against the number 9 national seed. I do think Texas Tech's the better team there in Lubbock this weekend. So that's sure. A Friday, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Sunday, 2 o'clock as well. All three games at 2 o'clock, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, whatever. That's the least compelling one of the weekend, yeah, frankly, maybe. I mean, there's just nothing there that's at all compelling.
I watched SEC teams this year, and I can tell you about them a little bit. When you get out of the league, unless we talk a little bit of Louisiana Tech, I'm going to struggle.
Okay. Arizona and Ole Miss, again, it is the nightcap. It is the late game. It is 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. ESPNU, ESPN2, ESPN2, or ESPNU Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Look, it's not the worst matchup in the world for Ole Miss, frankly. I mean, Arizona's not world beaters. They almost lost a series to Dixie State in late May. The Pac-12 was top-heavy, but not overly good all the way through. So, you know, the interesting thing is that Arizona plays baseball, though, more like an SEC team. They're not your typical Pac-12 team. They're not your typical West Coast team that's going to steal bases and bunt. And they stress you offensively, but they stress you because they hit like hell. It's not because of what they do on the base pass. You know,
I said major conferences, but pretty much everybody except for your one big leagues, they lead the nation in hits, runs, on-base percentage, batting average, and are second in slugging percentage. So it's a very offensive team coming in against Ole Miss this weekend in a park that is incredibly weird. Huge park, park where the alleys are actually deeper than center field. It like comes back in a little bit there in center field.
That's why they told Willie Mays Hayes, don't hit the ball in the air.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah. It is the home of the Cleveland. It was the home of the Cleveland Indians in spring training when Major League was made. It was where Major League was filmed. High Corbett Field. There's several actual screenshots of the movie where you can see the name of the park there in the background as you're looking. An interesting thing for Arizona, and I know nothing about Arizona at all. Converting a minor league spring training facility into your home park is one of the stranger moves that I've ever seen done for a baseball program that has a lot of history, frankly. I don't know. I don't know why, how, or anything. They moved from on campus to a minor league spring training facility.
Yeah, I've never been to Tucson. I've been to Arizona, but I've never been down to Tucson. So I just don't know anything about it. Look, I think Arizona's going to win Friday. I think Doug's going to win Saturday, and I think they're going to play a slugfest on Sunday. I do. That's my
18-16, and somebody headed on.
That's what I think. I mean, so if the Arkansas Ole Miss Sunday game or the LSU Ole Miss Sunday game gave you indigestion, if I'm right, you probably need to load up on the meds.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know. Arizona is absolutely favored on Friday if Doug doesn't throw, and Ole Miss is absolutely favored with the first team All-American on the mound on Saturday. And then
on Sunday, it's just see what happens.
Find 27 outs. However, you got to find 27 outs. That's the goal of that one. I don't know. Settle this. I kind of got hit on the board a little bit. I still think 92 degrees in Mississippi is more miserable than 105 out there.
Yeah.
I know it's hot. I get it. 105, 110 is hot.
Well, you remember we were in Vegas and it was like 107 or whatever. It was an oven, but it's a different kind of oven than.
I had a backpack on that entire walk and never sweated.
Yeah.
Here you would be like soup. I mean, I don't know that the weather – I guess my point is I don't feel like the weather is going to be a negative detriment to Ole Miss on the mound over the course of the weekend. I don't think it's going to tire them out differently than it would here in really terrible, miserable temperatures.
I tend to agree. And then adrenaline's going to kick in too. If this were just some regular season series played in that heat, maybe. But
yeah, that's a different deal.
The emotions are such that – yeah. I mean, they have a slight weather advantage because they've played in it, but I don't. Nah. Yeah, I'm not judging the series on that.
Yeah, Texas likely to knock off 4-seed South Florida in the Austin Super Regional. The Longhorns have gotten Tennessee Tech and South Florida in two of the last four Super Regionals. Two of the last three Super Regionals. They're in 18 and 21. And Knoxville SEC. Series, Tennessee and LSU.
LSU losing the
first game to Gonzaga and then walking all the way back through the loser's bracket, beating Oregon twice. And now they'll take on the Volunteers that got lucky as hell on Friday against Wright State and then kind of walked away with it after that.
Tennessee sort of feels like a team of destiny a little bit. If I'm LSU, I would have wanted to play someone not in the SEC. Where there's not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would have.
Somebody who's not used to my name across the chest a little bit.
There's a little bit of that intimidation factor where, man, they go to.
You think that still was alive even though they've got a 3 next to their name?
Yeah. Still have the LSU on their hat and their jerseys and.
Yeah.
You know, there's still an intimidation factor to that program. For a while, they were the preeminent college baseball program in the country for a long time. But I think Tennessee wins, don't you? I mean, Tennessee's playing at a super high level, and they just
– I have no analytical reason to pick LSU other than they wear purple and gold jerseys, if I'm honest.
And they're playing for a coach and all that stuff, but my guess is they use that emotion up in Eugene.
He's had an up and down year, but I will say Drew Bianco had one hell of a weekend.
He did.
He played incredibly well for LSU over the course of the weekend.
Monday was probably a good day in the Bianco house, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would assume that went all right. I mean, I saw Mike's tweet. He appeared to go home and prop his feet up and watch LSU on the big screen. And see,
sure, of course. Watch his son play. Of course.
Yeah, was taken in tonight.
Yeah, of course he did. That was probably a pretty rewarding day, I would assume. As a dad, I would think that was pretty cool.
He tweeted he's sending Cammy to Knoxville this weekend. She'll be there instead of Tucson, obviously.
I don't think Mike had to send Cammy to Knoxville.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I don't want to get in the middle of anything there. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that Cammy informed Mike that she was headed to Knoxville to see their son play.
Be safe. Good luck in Arizona. I'll see you when you get home. All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm sure that Cammy would like for Mike's weekend in Tucson to go well, but no, she – something tells me she did not need to be encouraged to go to Knoxville to see her son play in a super regional. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But I'd put a good bit of money on that.
Yeah. We'll look at the rest of the series in a second. Before we do, I'll tell you about Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page, see what else going on locally today, this week, and every week. The Oxford Community Market back on June 15th. That is from 3 to 6:30 at the Old Armory Pavilions every Tuesday for a good bit of the year there. And then the Summer Sunset Series every Sunday in June, if the weather will allow it, in the Grove. Some music 5:30 to 7:30 there every Sunday night. So we can see details and more. Again, visit OxfordMS.com/events.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. All you got to do, if you're thinking about traveling, is get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, and he'll give you options that you're not going to find on your own. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387, or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. And when you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait. If you want to learn more about OUB, and you should, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by Whitney McNutt, Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. Whitney sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can get in touch with her, 662-567-2573 or
662-842-3844. Let's see. Starkville, Mississippi State, and Notre Dame. Number 7, Mississippi State at home against the number 10 Fighting Irish. Notre Dame just demolishing its regional there in South Bend. There wasn't a whole lot of competition there, but still, they if it's possible to have emotions over 3 days, they seem somewhat pissed off they did not get a top 8 seed there in the NCAA tournament.
Well, they get to go to a place where they can take out that frustration, because that's probably the one that took it from them. And now look, Mississippi State was able to run that gauntlet there. I mean, that what a woo.
VCU, Campbell,
Samford.
I mean,
listen, when you survive Campbell and Samford, not just one or the other, but both, I mean, you're ready for the 27 Yankees.
VCU was on a 22-game winning streak.
I didn't even mention them, because that you say to just our friend in Dubuque, you say college baseball, go, and the first thing he's going to say is VCU.
Yeah.
And then if you say, go again, he's going to say Samford. Mississippi State survived that. I think Notre Dame.
So they're battle tested for the Irish this weekend.
I think Notre Dame's going to win.
Do you?
I do.
Notre Dame hit 15 home runs in 3 days.
They're a little pissed. Should they be? I don't know. Do they have a right to be? I don't know. But they are. And for whatever reason.
They probably did. I mean, they walked away with the ACC.
Yeah.
Frankly, the ACC showed a little better than they got credit for.
Well, NC State.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia Tech played really well against Vanderbilt. I mean, they didn't win. But, I mean, there were several teams. Virginia, they're in.
Yeah. No, you mentioned a week ago that the ACC kind of got screwed. And
they did.
They sort of played like they got screwed.
Virginia and Dallas Baptist. I love Dallas Baptist's program a ton. They will play in Columbia, South Carolina because of the whole 20 stadium protected deal. So Virginia and DBU playing in Columbia, South Carolina. What I love about
is there
this,
no baseball stadium in Texas?
Do what?
There's no baseball stadium in the Metroplex?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Not just they thought Old Dominion was going to win, I think. And they were like the seed. So I think they were going to put Old Dominion closest to its people for it. But instead, we're going to a stadium in a state that neither one of these two teams are playing at when the other option was Fort Worth. The other option on the table was Columbia or Lupton Stadium on TCU's campus. One of your teams is from Fort Worth.
What? So I don't understand.
Literally, the NCAA said, okay, it's Dallas Baptist and Virginia, or Dallas Baptist for sure, against either Old Dominion or Virginia. We could put this thing in Columbia, South Carolina, or we could put this thing in Fort Worth, Texas. Let's put it in Columbia.
And so you make the people at South Carolina work a regional.
Yes.
They don't want to do that, and I don't blame them.
Instead of, I bet TCU would have told the Dallas Baptist people, here, have at it. Y'all run it in our facility. Have at it.
Of course. They would have done the deal like the Georgia Tech did with the SEC tournament back in the tornado year. Here are the keys. Here's my phone. Call me if you need anything. Have at it.
This isn't complicated.
Well, they've made it complicated.
Yeah, so no, they're playing in Columbia, South Carolina.
Can you imagine if Nebraska had beaten Arkansas the other night and they had to play that super in Fayetteville? I mean, I realize everybody hates Arkansas and all that stuff, but that would be remarkably unfair to, like, media relations people, stadium ops people. Hey, yeah. You got to stay another week and do these.
Run NC State in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How insane.
Because it's Fayetteville or La Tech.
Yeah.
Those are the two options.
There's no – I'm told there's a stadium in Omaha. That's the word. I mean, and Omaha's in Nebraska. Couldn't you do it there?
What I don't get about the Dallas Baptist thing is they certified 20 parks, right?
Yes.
Why don't you just pick the one closest to – Virginia or Old Dominion, if you're going to go that direction, go play it in Charlotte. Charlotte was one of the 20. It's a minor league facility. It's not requiring the Charlotte people to show up. Play it there. That's what I don't get, too. I mean, you had other options here of what you could have done, but anyway, whatever.
Couldn't you?
That's actually a pretty interesting super regional for the college baseball nut. Virginia Dallas Baptist is kind of fun over the course of the weekend. It's the early game all 3 days.
Couldn't you just come off your high horse about this COVID stuff and play the damn thing in Charlottesville? They played series in Charlottesville all year.
Well, no, because they've already said you had to have one of these 20 protected sites.
Yeah, that's what I said. Could you admit that it's over and do it there?
Oh, you want them to admit something?
Or just don't even say it out loud. Just put the damn thing in Charlottesville and go here. Go for it.
Chet, you're 100% right. Dallas Baptist absolutely benefits from SMU not having a baseball program. Yeah, 100%. They are kind of the Metroplex's small town team, if you will, because of SMU not doing one. Something that I know the boosters don't want it, which is why it's not happening. But like when I talked to Gerald Turner a couple years ago, who's the president of SMU, was president of Ole Miss before that. He wants one. He's been very frustrated by it, but they can't get anybody to pay for it. SMU has literally no desire as an institution to put a baseball field in and play baseball. So I don't know. It would destroy the Dallas Baptist program. Yes, though. That's the answer there. So,
which is an odd thing that SMU would not want to play baseball because
you would think they're built for it. A bunch of elite prep kids in the Dallas area. I mean, what's not to love? I mean, basically, they could be a small town Vanderbilt if they wanted to be one.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's right there.
I mean, you could literally just follow the Vanderbilt thing and probably be Vanderbilt in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Lots of players in the Metroplex. A lot of money.
Speaking of, I talked about it with Chris Lee a little this morning. We knew it was coming. It was far from a shock. Jim Schlossnagel at A&M, thoughts?
Well, I knew it was coming because I do a show with you, and I know Chris, and I'd heard all the rumblings. Not surprised. I think the people who are trying to act like this isn't a big jump up for A&M are kidding themselves. Schlossnagel's a very good coach, and now he has tremendous resources at his disposal. A&M will certainly have its voice heard in the SEC moving forward. I'm really interested to see what happens with LSU. That's all eyes are on it. They didn't go very far down the road with Schlossnagel, in large part because, to Ross's credit, he'd already gotten the deal done.
Mm-hmm. I think paying a ton of money from what I hear.
I believe, and I'm quasi-sourced on this, and I'm downplaying how sourced I am. LSU had gone down a similar path with Kevin O'Sullivan at Florida. LSU had probably gone about as far with O'Sullivan as A&M had gone with Schlossnagel before the season was over.
Yeah, a long time, probably a month ago.
And I don't believe that LSU is going to hire Kevin O'Sullivan at this point. So,
is Florida going to hire Kevin O'Sullivan, Neil?
Chase, I don't know.
There are a lot of baseball rumors going around today. Like, it is a flurry of activity that, look, could be nothing, but enough for the antennas up. I mean, there are a lot of stuff going on in just kind of inside circles.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's rolling right now. My phone all morning is like.
Well, I don't cover college baseball much, and my phone went nuts late last week. I mean, I got to a point where I was like, you know what? We need to write this a little bit. We're going to have to put something out. I don't know. LSU kind of caught a break because institutionally, by winning that regional in Eugene, it gave them a week to sort through some things. Mm-hmm. Look, if they don't get out of Eugene alive right now, this is the story. And now the story is, hey, you know, can you get Paul Maneri to Omaha one last time? Can you have that, you know, Mike Martin send off where he gets to go out at the pinnacle of his sports?
Yeah. Get the Drover one more time on the way out the door, the whole deal.
Yeah, that deal. So, but it at the very least, it bought them a week to sort through this and to go from there. But it's not looking good for O'Sullivan, really. And I don't know, you know, whether it's – I don't know whether LSU can get Mike Bianco if LSU decides ultimately to go after Mike Bianco. There are people at LSU that really like Mike, obviously. There are people at LSU that, quite frankly, there's no reason to downplay this. There are people, powerful people at LSU, that want Mike Bianco to be the next coach.
That's true, yes.
That's just a fact. I don't know whether Cliff is still in that, Cliff Godwin, whether he's still in it, whether he's not. I don't know.
I believe he's a compromise candidate because he has nowhere near the issues that O'Sullivan does, but he is, from a national perspective, for the people who aren't sold on Mike, he is a much more palatable option from that standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and what's interesting with Mike is Mike's two wins away from going to Omaha again. And if he were to go to Omaha again, does that make him more palatable to some of the people at LSU? I don't know. So who knows? But what is obvious is that they had gone down the road quite a ways with Kevin O'Sullivan to the point that they weren't really looking at anyone else. And then background checks, for lack of a better word, got flagged big time.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, thanks. All right.
Good. You know, like those flags at Indianapolis 500 where they're waving the caution flag and all the drivers.
So it wasn't the one where the HR guy calls and goes, hey, I just need you to clear this up real quick. It's probably a technicality. I just need you to mark this off.
No. Right? No.
Yeah.
No. No, that phone rang and we got a problem.
Yeah. If you're in Vegas, who you put money on? Might. I'm not. I probably wouldn't bet on anybody, but I think from an odds standpoint, I would put money on Cliff because I think it's as likely as anything else, and I get better odds on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Cliff or someone like Cliff that we're not thinking about. I mean, the week.
Well, yeah, sure.
The week gave them an opportunity to go back to the drawing board too, if they needed to. But now, look, powerful people have dug in pretty hard on this, and
we know how that goes when it happens.
You know. I don't know who I'd bet on. I mean, again, I don't know that Mike would take the job. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't have any idea whether if LSU
Catherine's still in school,
you know, whether LSU came and said, "Hey, here's 1.5 million." I don't think Ole Miss would match it.
No, he's at 1.2 and change right now. If anybody's not aware of that,
so is he strictly motivated by money? Would there be a sentimental factor to him with that? I don't have any idea. I don't have any clue. But, you know, if you told me that LSU through intermediaries said the job's yours if you want it, I'd buy that.
I see it in the thread here. I fully expect the next coach at TCU to be Kirk Sarlous, the longtime assistant there under Schlossnagel. It would be stunning if that were not the case.
Even I've heard that. So
yeah. So I fully believe.
Which will be an issue for Schlossnagel because he's going to have to replace him on his staff.
Oh well, now look, and that's one of those deals where that's as important as anything. I mean, recruiting coordinator is it. I mean, that's what Sarlous has done such a good job of. So Look, Schlossnagel's going to win at A&M. They're going to be good. He's a very consistent, great coach. I will point out, though, that in two of the last three seasons, he's finished sixth in the Big 12. I mean, he's not without falling off from a consistency standpoint. A&M is still, even in this sport, that weird job where I don't know why they don't win, but they don't. There's nothing on paper that shows they shouldn't, but whatever's going on inside that atmosphere, whatever you want to call it, it just doesn't quite add up all the time. So.
And with LSU, whether LSU should or shouldn't, the expectation there is Omaha. Annually.
Oh, they fired Smoke Laval after going, twice in 4 years? I mean, Maneri has been sort of run out here after five appearances, including a national title, I believe, is something along those lines. I mean, I think that's his resume, give or take one.
I think there were probably some concerns with Smoke. With some other areas. Which again, gets you back into, if you're going to have an honest conversation about the LSU situation, you've got to talk about the anvil that hangs over your head at all times as a Title IX investigation into your football program that reaches into the athletics program. You can't afford to hire a coach. I don't care what his name is. You cannot afford to hire a baseball coach knowing what you know, and then the Title IX thing comes out publicly and gets nasty involving your football program, and someone goes, oh, hey, by the way, they hired a baseball coach who has X in his background.
And they knew it because of this.
Yeah, you can't do that. So that's what makes their deal kind of interesting. I know for a fact, and you do too, because you're talking to people, that it's something that is omnipresent in their thought process as they look to replace Paul Maneri.
Yeah, and look, that's absolutely – somebody said you've got to disparage Ole Miss to sell it. No, that is 100% true. You have to go, hey, LSU's a better program than Ole Miss, and with our resources, he can win those two or three games he hasn't won in Oxford. Yeah. That is the way to sell Mike Bianco and Ole Miss.
Of course.
That's it. Completely.
Of course.
I mean, that's –
Is that legit? I have no idea. I mean, I guess – in a hypothetical, we'd find out. We might never find out. I don't know.
Perception, reality, the whole deal.
The whole deal.
So, anyway, I don't know.
You know, and I don't know.
It's irrelevant for right now, at the moment at least.
If in a hypothetical where LSU loses in Knoxville this weekend and Ole Miss loses in Tucson this weekend and there was a conversation that happened, I don't know what the conversation would be between Mike and Keith. There's no way for me to know that. At all, you know what the dynamics of that would be. Maybe that would play into it. I don't, you know, I just don't know. We'll see. I can tell you that LSU was thrilled to make it to a super regional for two reasons. One, it's winning and getting to a super regional. And two, it absolutely bought them some time.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy there in Oxford. Something's been going on here recently, those with state or school insurance prescription cards, they've got a big CVS in the corner. That is not the drugstore. So if you have that, if you're one of those people, you can still get your prescription, still work with any local independent pharmacy, including Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs or G&M Pharmacy there in South Lamar. They share the same logo with another entity that is what that stands for. It's called Caremark. It is not, however, the CVS pharmacy. So if you're seeing that, they're trying to get the word out a little bit. You can still stay with whatever pharmacy you have, and hopefully that's G&M or Tyson Drugs. Again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. They've got Load Trail. They've also got Hallmark cargo trailers. They can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built. For podcast listeners, they have spare tires and wheels starting at just $100, full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. Get in touch with them at alphaofms.com or give them a call, 601-932-9798. We're also brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. Blue Delta makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Father's Day is coming up in, what, about a week and a half? So it'd be a perfect Father's Day gift for the dad in your life. Just go to BlueDeltaJeans.com, purchase a gift card that can be redeemed in person or online, or contact the folks at Blue Delta to schedule an in-person fitting for the dad in your life. Don't forget to use the code REBELGROVE. That's one word, all lowercase, REBELGROVE. Online or in person for 10% off your Blue Delta jeans. And we're brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from top designers. From work to lifestyle to nightlife, there's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, Duckhead, True Grit, and more at The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or at therogue.com. You can also reach The Rogue at 601-362-6383. And we're brought to you by Joey Erickson at Heron Gear Chevrolet. Let him help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevy vehicles or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. Just give Joey a call or text on his cell, 662-571-2367. Tell him what you're looking for, or stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson to test drive that new or used vehicle you've been wanting. Let Joey earn your business. And with any purchased vehicle, just mention the Oxford Exxon podcast or the Soft Verbal podcast, and you'll get a $50 gas card.
So how was Fayetteville otherwise?
It was good. We had a good time. It was just the two of us and me and Caroline, and we went. And they're starting to get back to normal. They allowed people in the big convention room that for the first time in a long time. So that was good. She got to meet the two girls that are going to be living next door to her in the dorm, because kids can benefit from social media now. I had a good meal at Feed and Folly, which was real near our Airbnb. Okay. Yeah, so it was fun. We had a good time.
Let's see.
Probably a lot less emotion will be the next time I go up there.
Is it not in like a, hey, it's this kid or that kid, but just the fact that it's the second one and you only have one left at home, is it more emotional, or is it was just losing the first one out of the nest the bigger deal?
Well, that was pretty emotional.
Okay.
With Caroline, you know, this last year, and you know this because you've come over here every day, it's been just me and her for about a year, you know, because Campbell was at college and Carson was at school and Laura was at work, and Caroline's senior year, especially the second semester, was just like 1 hour a day. It was nothing. And so she's been here a lot. So I think it might not hit me completely until like the school year starts. And then it's so quiet here during the day because Carson will be in school and they'll both be gone. And that might be when it hits me that she's kind of not here every day, because she's been around, like, you know, we're in the kitchen like fixing lunch or whatever, and she's in there, and so I'd see her. I won't I won't see her as much.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, she was the one to actually, like, hey, I'm going to participate and actually talk to you and that kind of thing. No offense to anybody else. But, like, it was like, hey, we're in this thing a little bit. So, I'm trying to play off. We'll get into Emirates tomorrow. I was going to go through that, but frankly, this thing is still going on where he's talking to Congress. I'm having to try to figure out what's exactly the context of all of it's difficult. This 12-team playoff, though, going to stick? Where are you at on it?
It's pretty obvious that that's what the TV people want, so that's probably what we're going to get. They're going to go bigger than four. I've long said I think eight's the number.
You want eight. You think 12's too many.
But it's more football. It's copying the NFL deal, and the NFL deal works, and it appears if you made me guess, I'd guess we're going to 12. Where you're going to have kind of a wild card weekend and then the divisional playoffs, if you will, and then the conference championships and the Super Bowl. I mean, it feels like, hey, they're like, well, this works, so let's do it. And by having 12 instead of 8, you still put emphasis on the regular season because of seeding. Everyone's going to want one of those buys. There'll be a huge difference between being the 4 seed and being the 5 seed. Mm-hmm. As opposed to in an 8-team playoff, there'd be no difference between being the 4 and the 5 other than who wore the white jersey in the first round.
Yeah. In the thread for just a quick second here. Yeah, Pat Casey was in Baton Rouge. I know LSU's really kicked the tires on him, the former Oregon State coach. He's another sort of safe hire in the Mike Bianco vein from a personal standpoint. The Luke Heimlich thing is not affecting his candidacy whatsoever, but Pat's been out of the game. I do not sense where there's a ton of support behind Pat Casey at this point, even though they have gone down that road a little bit and at least vetted him and talked to him and seen where it's at. So yeah, look, just a quick deal there.
And I agree. I'm not working the LSU story. So I'm not just hollering at people all day. But based on what I was hearing over the weekend, I would be surprised if it was Casey.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying
it won't be, but I'd be surprised. He did not have any real positive momentum from anyone.
The theme with the playoff is that I know it's TV, it's more games, it's more money, but they're also acting like, oh, it's getting rid of this thing where we have the same teams every time. Well, you're still going to have those same teams just a week later. Like, that does not solve that in any shape, form, or fashion. It just means Alabama and Oklahoma are going to beat the hell out of whomever in the first weekend, and they're going to go play each other the next weekend after that. That's all. I mean, this is...
Yeah. I mean, that's college football has a problem.
But more football is more football. Fine. Yeah. I'm good with it. Fine. Whatever.
They've long had a problem because you can load up on recruiting, and they have, and they do, and there's nothing that you can do to stop that. And there's a reason that the same programs are there every year. But, yeah, if you're the networks, you want more meaningful games. And any game that you can call a national quarterfinal is more meaningful than the Capital One Bowl, unless the Capital One Bowl is a national quarterfinal.
And if you want to do it that way, that's fine. I don't care. I have no problem if that's how you want to do it. You're not actually adding games. You're just changing the way some stuff works. That's cool. I mean, the Capital One Bowl is going to get more eyeballs if it's a national quarterfinal than if it's just the Big Ten number 2 against the SEC number 3.
Of course. I mean, look, the only people that watch the Capital One Bowl now, right, are the people who are either – let's say it's Penn State versus Auburn. If you're an Auburn fan or a Penn State fan, you're watching. If you're betting on the game, you're watching. Or if you're just so hung over from the New Year's Eve thing that you're just laying there flipping the channels. If it's a quarterfinal, everyone's watching it. Mm-hmm. The ratings skyrocket. And the ratings for a national quarterfinal round would be huge.
No matter who is playing.
And then there are a lot of coaches out there that are, and I think Avery's sort of referencing this in the thread, there's a lot of coaches out there that are in favor of a large playoff, because if you make the playoff, it's kind of like making Omaha. Hey, we made the playoff. Yeah. We were in the playoffs in 2021. Yeah, but you didn't win. Yeah, but we made the playoffs. Look at all
more
the people.
Bonuses, that, more bonuses, yeah,
more. Yeah, look at all the people that didn't make the playoffs. I mean, if you get to Omaha, you get to go, hey, we made it to Omaha. Even if you go 2 and out, you made it to Omaha.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Story up at rebelgrove.com. Ole Miss, I think I mentioned this the other day on the podcast, but they've added the left-hander for Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, for 2022. Probably a kid that's going to end up being in the weekend rotation. Just, I know it's a year out, who knows, but that's the thought process on him coming here. He chose Ole Miss over Texas and Arizona. Arkansas also kicking the tires on John Gaddis. He had an elbow surgery last November. He didn't get healthy until kind of the middle of March, and once he got healthy, he was frankly on fire. He allowed four earned runs his last 52.1 innings of the season in the conference tournament against Sam Houston State. He goes 7 scoreless, strikes out 13. So I talked to him, quotes and story up at rebelgrove.com on that, and then whatever else. So
yeah, there's a ton of football recruiting up on the site too. Zach has multiple stories. I wrote a story earlier today on a running back from Mobile that got an offer on Tuesday, yesterday, and so I talked to him today about that offer. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's, I don't know, 7 football recruiting stories up on the site.
Yeah, so tons of content there, and we will be back with another podcast. Not really sure what time, place, channel, all that kind of stuff. We'll let you know as soon as we know. And then Ole Miss again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, very, very late, 9, 8, and 9 for those start times there in Arizona. So full coverage of the weekend as well on rebelgrove.com. So until then, stay safe. Still tons of rain in the Oxford area. It's raining outside right now, and we'll be with you very soon. Take care.